This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and Upsnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, hello, and thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and today's topic is a little bit different than the topics that I usually do, trying to keep them very mainstream. A lot of people would be impacted by it. But I couldn't help but going this direction because I received an email from a listener out of Denver, Colorado, saying that, you know, she wanted to know about something called thoracic outlet syndrome. And while it is something that a lot of people may not experience in their life, a lot of the symptoms that are associated with it really may be more what it is thoracic outlet syndrome than even what a diagnosis is. So when I saw this, I thought, you know, there's something to this. We need to really look at it. And then I went in and started, of course, as a medical intuitive, looking at thoracic outlet syndrome from the perspective, as I do, from a psychological aspect, meaning the hidden meanings, and then also the chakras that were involved in it, the parts of the body that were involved in it. And I thought, you know, this is a great time to be able to do this because of where we are in the energy and being able to find our voice and being able to speak our truth and to be able to be clear channels of what our desires are. And a lot of the hidden meanings I find as a medical intuitive around thoracic outlet syndrome is certainly not finding your voice, not being able to feel supported. So I'm going to be sharing a lot of that. And again, thank you, my listener in Denver, Colorado, for sending this suggestion in. She actually emailed me saying that she'd been in a car accident about 4 years ago, and she's now suffering from a chronic pain, and she's gone through test after test, and they haven't been able to figure out what the pain is or where it is. They thought maybe it was a referred pain, meaning that it was a result of something from the injury, which is logical. Or that's a, you know, they thought, well, it's an idiopathic pain from the standpoint that it seems to surface in a lot of different areas of her body, primarily in the neck and shoulder area. And then she went in and she actually met with a chiropractor, and the chiropractor said, you know, I think that this is tied to thoracic outlet syndrome. And the reason that she was so perplexed by it is that she was suffering specifically from headaches, neck and back pain, and even a numbness. And again, nothing showed up, none of the neurological tests, none of the MRIs, that there was anything that was really going on. So, you know, gosh, let's bless that little chiropractor's heart for finding this out and then offering this suggestion, because in fact, that's what she was diagnosed with. And she's been able to really start to work with it. And she thought, you know, I had all these symptoms, all these things coming up, so maybe this could help someone else. So thanks again. I hope that all of you are going to enjoy the information that's shared. And if you are experiencing any of these different symptoms I'm going to talk about and just can't seem to get to the core of it and figure out with that diagnosis clearly enough what needs to be done, maybe there's going to be something in the show that's going to be of value to you. If you have a show suggestion for me and a topic that you would like me to cover, I invite you to go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and then click on the radio tab at the top of my homepage. And then what you're going to do, it's going to take you to my show schedule, and there will be an icon on the right-hand side that says, send me a show suggestion, and let me do that. And then what I'll do is I will put it into the future show list that I have, and then I will do the research that's needed, and then link it with my medical intuitive skills, and then be able to share that information with all of you. So again, thank you for the suggestions. Please do keep them coming. Very, very helpful for me, because it lets me know where the area of interest is, and it also lets me know when you send me a suggestion, while it may not be as mainstream or as common as I call it, such as thoracic outlet syndrome, in reality what it is that it may be that it can change one person's life. And that's really what I hope to do and what I came back from my near-death experience, that if I can help a lot of people, that's great. But if I can help one person be in charge of their own healing and change their life, then you know what? I'll probably get a gold star after my name. So now you understand my motivation on top of it. In addition to talking about thoracic outlet syndrome, I'm also going to be taking your calls and sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. So if you have a question about your health or maybe about this energy that we have going on or something that's going on that I could offer a little bit of insight, different perspective or clarity, then please call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in U.S. and Canada, and then also international callers. You can call the same number, 877-230-3062. All you have to do, of course, is dial your international calling code before 877-230-3062. I'd also like to remind you that this is the last week for you to enter my What Do You Love About Your Personality campaign on my Facebook page, Dr. Carol Reitberger. In addition to this campaign where you can enter as many postings as you want telling me what you love about your personality color, I'm also posting tips and insights into your personality color so you can better understand yourself. And then I have a lot of information on my Facebook page about all the other different colors, the four colors, red, orange, yellow, green. And then what you can do is learn about you and probably learn about some of the people in your life, your spouse, partner, children, maybe your boss, your coworkers, your friends, people, mother's dad, whatever it may be. And one of the things that I found over the 30-some years that I've been working with personality is that just by having the perspective of personality and seeing the world and relationships through their personality and through their personality color, as I use color as my means of expression and identification, then what you can do is you can recognize that a lot of the conflict and power struggles that you experience in your life with someone is that it isn't because they're trying to make your life miserable. I do understand that it does, but what it really is doing is they just see things very different than you. They have different core values. They use different words to communicate. And as a result, if you don't match what their needs are and they don't match what your needs are, then it's very difficult to get on the same wavelength. So if you go in and you enter into my What Do You Love About Your Personality contest, then what I'm going to be doing is on September 12th, 2012, I'm actually going to be drawing some names from all of the people that posted what they like and love about their personality, and I'm going to be offering a free one-hour drawing, free one-hour reading with me. And I'm also going to be offering a book bundle, which includes What Colors Your Personality and Love, What's Personality Got to Do With It. And then in combination with Gaia MTV, if you haven't checked out GaiaMTV.com, I really encourage you to do that. They have a wonderful programming process of a lot of information. And then also I was invited to do an interview a short time ago, and so you can watch my interview. And we talked a lot about indigos and about health and about where the kind of the energy is and so forth. So very, very good. So Gaia MTV is offering to three people, the names that we're going to draw, a 3-month free subscription to be able to go in and look at these interviews, cutting really leading names in their field and everything. And then just a lot of information. Gaia MTV has yoga, Pilates and so forth. So anyway, so I've got that. So it's got a free one-hour reading, I've got a book bundle, and then I've got these three different Gaia MTV guest subscriptions, so you can try it for 3 months. So what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be drawing these names on September 12th, and then what I'm going to be doing is I will be announcing the winners on my Facebook page September 19th, so you can go on there and see if you are eligible or you won any one of these different gifts that I'm offering. But the most important thing is learning about your personality. And then how do you do that? Well, you go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Join the Personality Network. It's only $1.95. That allows you to go in and take the assessment. It also provides two free gifts, which are reference guides for effective communication with each of the four colors and a reference guide for dealing with conflict with each of the four colors. And then there's just a wealth of information, not only about your color, but about other personality colors and things that you can do to improve the relationship or enhance the relationship or kick on that love, rekindle that love energy within a relationship. All of those things are available for just $1.95. And go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Well, I think the best thing for us to do when we start looking at thoracic outlet syndrome is that we need to differentiate that we're really not talking about the thoracic part of the spine. That's the longest part of the vertebrae itself if we were to cut it into segments. And that thoracic part of the vertebrae really starts at just about the midsection of the neck, of the shoulder area, and then goes all the way down to that curve in the back, the lumbar part of the back, the spine. So that's not what we're really talking about. But to help you locate it, locate where we would find thoracic outlet syndrome, it's a passageway that's at the top of the rib cage, which is just at the base of the neck. This passageway allows the esophagus, major blood vessels, trachea, and other structures to pass between the neck and the chest. This part of the neck and the spine are really very crowded from a nerve bundling standpoint. So if you do have an extra rib, that top rib, that is associated with thoracic outlet syndrome, then what occurs is that because it's so crowded, the tip of that rib and then also the overlying muscles that are associated with that particular rib, and that's part of the diaphragm to breathe and open and close and expand and contract and so forth, then what's going to happen is that when you get the compression in the muscles on this little extra rib, and it actually will show up in an x-ray, that you have a little tiny rib that's there, it's not fully developed, then what will happen is that it compresses the blood vessels and the nerves, and then the result is thoracic outlet syndrome. Issues that are associated with the thoracic outlet syndrome, and I want to go in and I guess I probably should back up just a tad, is that the reason it's called a syndrome is because a syndrome refers to a variety of ill-defined symptoms that are happening in the body. And in the syndrome complex, they're very difficult to be able to truly diagnose and pinpoint exactly what's going on because of this variety of these ill-defined different symptomology that's associated with it. So when it's called a syndrome, that's what we're really looking at. And some of the symptoms that are associated with it are neck and shoulder pain, headache, nausea, numbness, even tingling in the arms, kind of like feeling like you would if your foot goes asleep, tightening in the chest, difficulty breathing, and it actually can be tied to some of the symptomology that's related to carpal tunnel syndrome. Interestingly, women are more prone to thoracic outlet syndrome than men, and the greatest risk of women experiencing the actual symptomology of the syndrome is between the age of 35 and 55. And I went in and did a little bit of research and asked myself, now, why would it be the actual part of the age of 55? And what I found is that what that time is that there's a lot of changes that are going on in the body that are impacting the body from a muscle standpoint. We have changes in hormones in that period of time. We have a lot of the 35 getting into the 40s, a lot of the perimenopause preparation that happens. So I really found that when it looks at the age aspect of it, it comes from the hormonal changes, which then changes the dynamics of all parts of the body. But I also found that in the whole scheme of things, and working with women between 35 and 55, is that is a very, very stressful time in a female's life, even though maybe we might think of it when she's younger and childbearing, where she's actually having her children and having to deal with that. Somewhere around 33 to 35 years old, there's kind of this light bulb that goes off in women and says, you know, gosh, what do I want to do now that the kids are growing up, or what do I want to do with the rest of my life? And we start asking some of those big questions. And then as we get closer into the late middle 40s, early 50s and 55, it's really tied a lot to the hormonal changes of what's happening. So I found that interesting research. Some of the symptoms, as I said, are this neck and shoulder pain, but there's also a couple of other things that are going on. It isn't uncommon for the hands and arms and the shoulders to actually swell and to even take on a bluish tint because of the lack of oxygen that is happening, that's being supplied to that particular area. So when the nerves themselves get compressed, then what they're going to do is it's very common for them to misfire, meaning that what your brain is telling that part of the body to do, such as the case of the hands and the wrist area, what the brain is telling the body to do is the brain sending the message loud and clear. But by the time that it hits this thoracic outlet area in the spine itself and how compressed these nerves are and the bundles and everything, the message can then be not as strong or as clear, which can cause some atrophy. And it really isn't atrophy from the standpoint of it being a long-term thing. It just can cause the nerves to not tell the muscles, listen, you need to write, you need to do things, you need to move. So, and then what it'll do is with the lack of oxygen also, it may get a little bit of a bluish tint. Again, you can see right as I've been talking about this how these symptoms can be tied to so many different things. And then what happens is when the nerves actually get, the messages get cut off from that particular area, then that area will have a tingling, kind of like when your foot is asleep, that's the numbness. And then when you the foot starts coming back, you'll get that tingling. The risk factors of this thoracic outlet syndrome may include trauma to the neck and shoulders, postural distortions, cervical spine disease. That's the cervical spine, meaning from the kind of the mid-shoulder all the way up to the base of the brainstem itself. Tumors of the spinal cord could form cysts also of the spinal cord. Also, it can cause some compression and some damage to the brachial plexus, which is the plexus that is right at the where the thoracic area and the cervical area, the spine comes together. Also, as congenital anomalies such as the cervical rib, that's that extra rib that I was talking about, and then a band syndrome, which is what I'm referring to more here, is I'm referring more to the ligaments and the tendons, and then also a degenerative disc disease. So when we look at it, we can see that it really is something that if you can't get a clear diagnosis and you're suffering from any of these different symptomologies, then perhaps it would be worthwhile to just go in and throw that idea out to your doctor or to look for a chiropractor. And in the next segment, I'm going to be talking about some of the things that can be done that can help alleviate the problem and the pain, because the nice thing with the thoracic outlet syndrome, if it is diagnosed and it is worked with, while it may reoccur depending again on stress levels, hormone changes, whatever's going on in our life, carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders as I look at it as a medical intuitive, then we may have a reoccurrence. But if we know that, then through adjustments, myofascial release, some of the other things I'm going to share, then we can actually cause this to just be an acute situation where it pops up and not become a chronic situation. And then also one of the things that I did find in the research is thoracic outlet syndrome is not uncommon if there is damage from or injury, trauma, damage to the spine or the vertebrae or even trauma to the muscles in the case of my listener from Denver, Colorado with the accident. But also it's been associated with certain occupations that require sitting for a long period of time or heavy lifting, because thoracic outlet syndrome mimics actually many other symptoms such as heart attack, neuropathy, or carpal tunnel. Again, it's difficult for it to be diagnosed. However, a chiropractor can very easily diagnose this by going in and working with the spine the way that they do. They will be able to tell if you do, in fact, have that little extra rib that's up there. And they can also tell by the alignment of the spine as to whether where it's putting pressure, the damage, is it near the brachial plexus? And then they can start their process of elimination. And then many times just through a minor adjustment, if it is an acute situation where it has become chronic, then what we can do is we can take care of it. Now, as a medical intuitive, when I see thoracic outlet syndrome from that psychological standpoint, I really see it as more of a disconnection between the spiritual self and the physical self. And it's the body's way of actually revealing this disconnection. Now, that physically comes in where we feel this pain, our shoulders kind of go up to our ears, we feel the compression in our neck area. Sometimes people will even feel a lump in their throat, which is not tied to any kind of benign nodules or anything like that. But what it's really doing is it's really coming in, and it's just basically letting the person know we need to stop, take a deep breath, relax, look at what's going on in our life, and then basically coming in and making some changes in our life. When I look at it from the standpoint of using my sight and my connection with the chakras itself, it visually looks like somebody pulled the plug in the fourth chakra, the heart chakra, and that area is really void of abundant energy. It isn't without energy, it's just void of abundant energy. And what I can do is I can actually see when I look at the aura, whether someone's physically with me or I pick it up in my intuitiveness as it's developed, is it actually looks like a hole in the field in that fourth chakra area. And then what it does is it causes that hole, the energy on the upper part of the chakra above it toward the fifth chakra or toward the neck area. It feels like, it looks like all this energy is building up at the, around the top rib. And then I also find it from about the sternum in the, area, the thoracic vertebrae, 5, 6, 7, 8, going on down to the navel. I'm going to find that there's very little energy flow. So it's like having this void and then everything backs up above it, causing all of this tension and energy buildup. And then when I look below that area, then what it looks like is that I have a little trickle, but I'm not getting the energy that is needed, nor am I getting the brain messages that are needed to the lower part of the body, the lumbar part of the spine, the sacral part of the spine, and I'm not getting those messages clearly. So what I may also find is I may find that there's some numbness that's associated in the lower part of the body that really it's just waiting to get these electrochemical messages from the brain, but it's almost like the lines have been compressed, cut, and it's just not getting these messages. Some of the hidden meanings behind the syndrome that I have found with the as a medical intuitive is that I found that there's a strong sense of the loss of personal power. They feel unprotected and vulnerable to attack. It's not unusual for someone to say, yes, I do. I feel like I'm always being stabbed in the back. And while the pain associated with thoracic outlet syndrome isn't necessarily a sharp pain, it's more of a dull, throbbing pain, the reality of it is it lingers to the point and how it comes on makes them feel like there's this metaphor of being stabbed in the back. There's feeling that there's a lack of control in their life. They actually feel that there's a deprivation. Expectations of themselves are not being met. There's feelings of inadequacy. They're trying very hard to be able to meet the expectations of other people, and as a result, they are not able to do that. And then also I find that it isn't uncommon a lot of times with the separation anxiety that could be associated with it. Well, also, fear of rejection. Afraid of being alone, feeling personally responsible for everything that goes wrong, feeling that it's your place on this earth or your sphere of influence that you need to be able to solve the problems. Again, excuse me for the repetition, but carrying the weight of the world on your shoulder, feeling like you speak up but you're not being heard. There's a tremendous amount of frustration. All of these things can deal with that. And then feeling disconnected from their higher selves and really the fearfulness that comes that they can't access their intuition or that inner wisdom. And where the energy is right now that we're dealing with, looking at it from a little bit different perspective, is that the energy where it is right now is that we are really feeling pulled between our physical self, that tangible part of our life and our expressions, and then the spiritual nature. And it isn't that we're being asked to do either or. We don't have to be spiritual beings having a physical experience and that's it, physical beings having a spiritual experience. We don't have to be that either. But it's to remind us that, as with the messages from the brain getting down into the body, that what we have is we have this flow that is going on between each of these different aspects of who we are. And if we allow that flow to happen and the ebb and flow of what it is, then we don't go in and we don't feel like we have this need that we have to go in and really solve all the world's problems or take care of people or do the things. Instead, what we do is we do it because we desire to do it. We don't do it out of obligation. So the energy right now is also really asking us in this whole aspect of our anatomy and then the physiology and the function of the body is that let's see ourselves as whole and complete, and let's not cut ourselves off from ourselves and then find ourselves lost and then feeling disconnected. And that's the metaphor that I've really found recently with the energy that's associated with a thoracic outlet syndrome. All right, I'm going to jump in, and I'd like to take a call from Wesley. Hi, Wesley. Hi, Wesley, line 2. All right. Let's see if we can do this. So, do we have Wesley on the line? All right. Well, you know what I think we're going to do is let's go ahead and take a commercial break. And Wesley, sit tight, honey. I know I can see you on my board. I'm coming back to you. So let's go ahead and see if, Mr. Cameron, are you there? We can take ourselves a commercial break. And then what we'll do is we'll come right back, and I'm going to take some calls here because my lines are full and I've got want to make room for more. So let's take a commercial break. I'm going to be right back and talk more about thoracic outlet syndrome.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Hello, and thanks for joining me again today. The topic of the show is thoracic outlet syndrome. It was actually a suggestion from a listener from Denver, Colorado. I'm hoping that she's gathering a lot of information, and any of you that may be having these kind of unexplained, vague different symptoms that you might be experiencing and not being able to get any diagnosis for, that this may be of value to you. I also want to let you know that if you've ever wanted a personal reading with me or with me and medical intuitive and sharing my skills, I actually just posted my next month's schedule. So if you'd like a reading with me, just go to my website, www.reitberger.com. I am going to be talking about some of the things that we can do for actually working with therapies or different things that can be done to be able to help carpal tunnel syndrome, which is also tied to thoracic outlet syndrome. And I'm going to be sharing some things, but I want to jump in. I've got some callers on the line, so let's take Wesley. Hi, Wesley, line two.
Hi, Carol. Hope you can hear me now. Thanks for your information. I talked with you in April. You gave me a diagnosis about a jaw misalignment and also perhaps pressure in my left ear.
Correct.
I'm just checking in since then. I've done acupuncture and cranial sacral and my own energy work and a 0-point wand. I've been really working with my ear. It hasn't gotten tremendously better.
Okay.
Which, you know, over time, it's been 7 months. And yeah. I'm very patient, but I would like another, if you see anything to...
Absolutely. No. So what you've done, sweetie, is that you really went in and you started in where it's most obvious, working with the sixth chakra, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm going to go, first of all, chakra part of it. Then I'm going to go back in and look at where it is right now using my medical intuitive skills. So I'm going to give you a healthy mapping. What you've done in increasing the flow between the crown chakra down to the fifth chakra, going through that sixth chakra and focusing on it. Very, very well done. The cranial sacral, out of the things, the acupuncture is really of value because it's got the chi running through your body. Where I was finding last time is that we didn't have as much really getting down to the feet areas we needed. So that certainly helped. But it feels to me that the thing that has really helped the most from the standpoint of the energetics and the actual dynamics of the body itself is the cranial sacral.
Mm-hmm.
So as we're looking at this energetically, because this will be part of the process, I want to give you your healthy mapping. You start at the heart. So what you do is you feel things very strongly. You have empathic or ultra-sensitive abilities. You hear things that most people miss, whether you do it intuitively or visually through going in the nonverbal clues. So your heart is your base of who you are. Anytime the energy gets in disharmony in that area, what it's going to do is it's going to throw you down into the lower chakras, and it's going to go 4-2, 4-2, and it's going to be kind of like a dog chasing its tail. So as you're continuing the healing, what I would encourage you to do is to do the chakras in this sequence. Mm-hmm. Open up your heart chakra. Come up with a visualization that can work. Bring in the energy down through the crown. Have it hit that heart. Feel like a fan that's spinning around. And it's just basically circulating all that heart energy throughout your entire body. Mm-hmm. Move up to your sixth chakra. Do the clearing that you've been doing, the energetic work that you've been doing. One of the things that I would encourage you is to go in and maybe get a visualization of the air. I'm going to help you with that in a moment. Mm-hmm. Get a visualization of the air, and then what we're going to be able to do is we can use that visualization to do some release work. So that's it. So go 4, 6, then go back into the second chakra, the human emotion chakra. Mm-hmm. Congratulate yourself on what you've done. I understand physically it hasn't got there, but part of this from the psychological part, go down in the second chakra. The second chakra, naturally, by the fact that it holds our emotions and our humanness around the conditioning, is that what you're going to do is, well, it's been 7 months, it's not better. It's been 7 months, it's not better. It could have been longer than that, but it's not better. I've tried all these things, it's
but
not
it's
better.
Not worse.
Yeah, exactly. And then what it does is it creates this kind of dog chasing its tail and this churning, where then what you do is you become unhappy or disenchanted with yourself is a better word, because you have a lot of happiness in you, but you become disenchanted. And then you get in this cycle where it literally feels very, disappointing. It's not moving anywhere. It's not doing anything. So from the energetics, just go 4, 6. If you look at it from this holistic perspective, finding new ways to tap into your inner self, being able to see things differently, I'm going to help you with that, and then come back down in the second chakra, then the self-talk goes, well, you know, I really am trying everything, and I'm going to be willing to try other things. And then we get out of that old pattern of feeling inadequate or feeling like we're always doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the energetics. That's your healthy mapping, and I would encourage you, as you're doing your work and you're working even with the acupuncturist, what we want to do is we want to keep a clear channel of energy from the fourth to the sixth to the second chakra. Okay. And the acupuncturist can work with you and being able to keep those channels clear, mm-hmm. because a lot of what it is that you're doing a lot of deep emotional work that you need to hear, but you don't need anybody else to hear, meaning that you don't need to share with anybody else. And we do that, honey, every one of us. My gosh, I just do it all the time. But what we do is then we open ourselves up to other people's opinions, which has value, except a lot of times if our pattern is to rely on other people's expectations or their input, then we don't realize how to connect and heal ourselves. So that's that. Okay, so let me go in. So the pressure that I felt, let me go back in. The pressure that I felt in the jaw itself, the hinge itself, actually feels better. I'm not getting the tightness in those little mastoid muscles, those little pencil muscles, as I call them, in the neck area. You feel like you have more jaw movement freedom than you did. It's still not quite, you know, as free as it can be, but I do find progress there. But the main thing is, and this is probably the cranial sacral, and it was in addition to the other, I'm not getting that jaw pressure, sweetie. So that is working.
Right. Well, I have been working with my jaw, too.
Perfect.
On my own. Yeah.
That's okay. Whatever you're doing, I'm not getting those muscles locking it down like you're gritting your teeth, like you've got something to say and your teeth grit and you want to just get it out there, but it just won't come out. So that is working. Okay, so let me go in. So we're in the process of eliminating the jaw. I'm actually in the ear itself, sweetie. When I go into the little fine hairs in the ear itself, I do have some of the hairs that have been damaged. So I have to be very honest from the standpoint that those little hairs that have been damaged will not replace themselves. Mm-hmm. But the ear itself, when I look at the inner ear, I look at the eustachian tube, I'm not getting any blockage. I have no tumors. Mm-hmm. I do have a little bit of a perforation, some scarring on the back part of the inner ear. Did you have a swimmer's ear, or did you have ear infections as a
ear
child? Do you remember? Yeah.
No, not did that you, I remember. Yeah.
Okay. Did you have swimmer's ear? Did it feel like you had water or pressure on the inside?
I always had a problem with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So the only reason I'm bringing it up, so I'm going to give you a visual. So we're going to look down this tube. And what we're going to do, let's start, first of all, with the disc of the ear. And we're going to go into that inner ear, and we're going to go into that opening, and we're going to go just inside that opening where we're going to find all the mechanisms of the inner ear itself. That's where we find our little hairs. Some of the hairs, not a lot of them, but some of the hairs have been damaged. That will mm-hmm. not be able to, unfortunately, in the human body, replace itself. But it still will be able to allow you to hear. I have a little bit of a scarring from what looks like it may have been a perforation where maybe there was some an infection or something at one time. That also should not permanently damage your ear or your hearing. Mm-hmm. So the reason I bring those forward is if I kind of get in your ear, in the back of the ear, go in and look at an anatomy book of the ear, sweetie, and it'll help you. But mm-hmm. where you find the inner ear, where you find that little drum that kind of beep, 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 beats, what that mm-hmm. does is it causes those little hairs to move. What you want to do is you want to focus on those hairs moving. The ones that are there, healthy, we want them to move. That's going to help. The other thing is, with the scarring on the back of it, why don't we just wrap it in some kind of energy? Why don't we see if we can just do some healing around it? Because it shouldn't be causing the ear itself to not be able to discern the vibration and the noise that's coming in for your brain to be able to get the messages.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah. So, again, I just keep coming back, sweetie. Well, some part of it, very honestly, may not be back to the 100% like maybe you would like it to be, just right. because there's things that are there. The hearing right. itself can improve as a result of it. One of the things with the cranial sacral work that you've done is it's taken a lot of pressure off of the muscles that were putting a lot of pressure on the cranial nerve that was tied to the hearing aspect of it. Mm-hmm. So that mm-hmm. is helping. Do you do any kind of, do you have anybody that helps you with any kind of waxing or candle waxing? And I'm really stretching. I'm going to tell you really straightforward. I'm stretching because in a lot of ways I'm not picking up. You've got a wax buildup. But I'm picking up that pressure that we, you know, you acknowledge. I'm picking up that pressure to the point that I'm looking for things that maybe I could offer you that we could go in and do some flushing out, some something, so we could just kind of clear it if that in fact is true.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you would recommend the candle waxing?
Yeah. Your cranial sacral person, this person feels like they, you're working with someone. Is that accurate? I feel like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. At the beginning I did that, but yeah, I'd like.
Okay.
Yeah, that appeals to me.
Yeah, so maybe go back and revisit that, because I think that really did a great job, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, why don't you talk to this person? This person feels very well-rounded from a holistic standpoint. Maybe why don't you talk to that person and then see if, in fact, she may have
mm-hmm.
recommendations of mm-hmm. someone that could help you if you explain to her, again, kind of refresh your memory what you're dealing with, the improvement that you had, but it's not where you want it to, and see if she can offer some suggestions of some different maybe modalities that could help you with that.
Great.
And again, I have to be really honest. I'm stretching with the candle waxing because, honestly, sweetie, I don't have a buildup of candle. I mean, I don't have a candle there. I don't have the buildup of wax, but I have some pressure that I'm trying to figure out what can we do to release the pressure.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing. But really, much better. And even though I found these other two areas, it still isn't something that should impede the hearing to the point where you're going to suffer from hearing loss.
Wow. Well, thank you.
You are welcome, and thank you for hanging on the line with me that long. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for all this information.
Well, you can go back and you can listen to it in the archives, because once it starts going and you open up, it's blah, 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 keeps
on
going.
Oh, I know. It always sounds different.
Yeah, okay. So just go to ripburger.com and go to my radio show archives. It'll be posted the end of the week. And then you can listen to this and start taking those notes or whatever. So thanks for calling me, sweetie. You have a great day.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, let's take Kimberly from Roseville. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, sweetie, for staying on the line so long. I just had a lot to say about thoracic outlet syndrome. So how can I help you, sweetie?
Well, now that I've heard you say that, I'm pretty much convinced I have it.
Good you girl. I'm convinced that you do, too.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Well, it's ironic because I was calling about something else, but now that I heard you talk about that, I'm thinking, well, geez, this is why I really called.
Yeah, well, and you know, and the other thing is that whole area with the nerves and with everything else, I see on here that you've got gallbladder on my screen and everything, and you know, it might be something for you to look at. Have you ever had a picture of your spine?
No, I have not.
You might want, I don't ever want anybody to go out and just spend money needlessly, but you do have that small little kind of a nipple of a spine, a rib that I can find. And when you get really tight and those shoulders come up to those ears, it just feels like it kind of squeezes that area. So
absolutely.
Something for you to look into.
The expression I use is I'm wearing my shoulders like earrings. And it gets really tight. In fact, I called you in March because I had I'd taken a little fall. I just fell backwards on an escalator. I was
doing
too many things. Mm-hmm. And you talked to me about what was going on in my spine. I was experiencing some pins and needles in my legs and different
things. Yeah.
In June, I went to a wellness center, and because of different hormones and things like that, that's what prompted it. I did a 3-week very intensive cleanse. It was basically just a vegan diet. And then a gallbladder cleanse at the end, which worked really well. But I'm just noticing recently that I'm feeling pressure there and a lot of stomach discomfort, and I'm just wondering.
Okay, so probably, can I take it to the, do you want to know if there's any gallstones? Is that what,
sure.
Maybe the cleanse kind of rattled anything kind of loose?
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. If maybe, because I did release some, but I'm wondering, are there more that need to be released? I don't know.
There are, but there's not a lot. So good job with that. What it does is it feels like kind of, you know, going in and just cleared out the big things. This particular one that I pick up, and I'm only picking up one, very honestly. I'm looking in there, honey, to see if I've got any more that's hiding in there. But I've got one, and it is just literally like the size of sand.
Okay.
It's just like a grain of sand, and it doesn't have buildup around it. It feels like it's got a little bit of it. Well, I know it does. It's got some irritation that is associated with it. Why don't you... What it feels to me is we need to balance your pH. While all of this seems like it served you very well, it feels like it's thrown the pH of your body out of sorts, and you feel really acidic to me.
Okay.
So maybe you can go back and just ask him, what can you do from a pH balance standpoint? Now, the vegan diet per se, the foods that you eat, would naturally be more alkaline.
Right.
But it just feels like we need to just kind of go in and see if there's something else we can do. Do you do flower essence?
I keep getting
flowers all around you.
I just came in from the garden.
Okie dokie.
That could be. I have before. It's been a long time, maybe 10, 15 years ago, and have not used them since. And I'm familiar with Rescue Remedy and so forth.
Oh, are you? What if you... And again, I have to kind of throw it out. Please use your own judgment. Talk to someone because I'm not a practitioner. But why don't you try or talk to somebody about trying some Rescue Remedy and see if we can just kind of cool things down. It feels like we did a great job. We did a really great job cleaning things out. But it feels like we just need to cool things down a little bit. We need to get that alkalinity back and see if we can help it.
Okay.
And the gallstone itself feels like it's not, it really doesn't feel like it's a problem. It doesn't even appear to me energetically that it's going to develop into something major. But it's just kind of like taking a, you know, like being in a bathing suit and you get a grain of salt. I mean, a sand where it shouldn't be, and it gets really irritated. That's what it feels like.
Okay.
Well, also, do they have you, sweetie, on digestive enzymes? Did you go on those?
No, I was not on those. Oh, wait a minute. I was on a lot of different herbs, and one of them was Digest and Cleanse.
Okay.
But it was not, I don't believe they're actually enzymes. It was just herbs. But I do take probiotics.
Okay. Are they the same probiotics you've been taking for a long time?
It's been about a year.
Okay. You know, it feels to me like we've got to get you on some probiotics, some digestive enzymes, and we've got to try to get the pH in the small intestine, in the dynamics between the stomach, the liver, and the gallbladder. It just feels like we need to cool you down.
Okay.
So that should help you with it.
Well, I sure noticed I felt a lot better during the cleanse. My stomach is so happy, so good.
yes. And again, you know, you're going to have the residual with this one that feels like it picked up, but it really doesn't feel like it's a problem. It just feels like it's an irritant. That's what it feels like, and that may be very well what you're feeling in the gallbladder. It may also be that the fact that you're acidic is that the gallbladder is having to work harder or it's not working enough. There's a kind of a fine line that's still going on. It feels like your gallbladder is just trying to figure out, it's like, whoa, that was a good rush, but I'm not sure what I do now.
Yes. Well, that's how I feel.
Yeah. Well, there you go. The other thing is, I don't know why it just popped in, but one of the things that I also just popped in is that something's kind of galling you. Something is kind of, you know, somebody's bugging you. I don't know. That's about the best. We'll see that little grain of calcified sand that I'm picking up. It's an irritation. Somebody's irritating you.
Well, it's kind of a long list.
Yeah. Well, actually, sweetie, you're really, really good. You've come a long way. Take that list, put it down on piece of paper, and prioritize 5, and then prioritize to 4, and then to 2, then to 1, and there you will be. But this particular person feels like they're asking you to do something that really is compromising your real values and really what is near and dear to your heart. And it feels like it just needs to just be addressed. That's what it feels like to me. And whether you do that in a journal or you do that in a meditation or you do that in a healing bag where you basically take them and tie them up in a balloon and send them off the universe, I don't care. Somebody's bugging you.
I will look at that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks, Kimberly. I hope that helps, sweetie.
It does. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. All right, let's take Gina from Maryland. Hi, Gina. Hi, Gina. Are you there? Line
Hello.
One.
Yes.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi. Good morning, I guess.
It is.
Okay,
it is.
Good.
It's afternoon for you, but.
Yes, right. I tried to be conscious of that. So it's very nice talking to you. I've been listening to your podcast very quickly, trying to catch up with you. And I got on today and saw the thoracic outlet syndrome, and I thought, I've never heard of that before. And then as you started describing it, it's just like the previous caller, it started to sound like me.
Right.
But I suppose most people have several symptoms, you know,
Correct.
That overlap with other things. So I'm going to forget what I called about and maybe discuss this since it came up.
Okay. Actually, in looking at it, sweetie, I'm not picking up that it actually is thoracic outlet syndrome. What I am picking up is that when I go into the vertebrae itself in the cervical part of the spine and I go down to the vertebrae that's about 3 inches from where your neck and shoulders come together, I've actually got an old injury or an old pattern where that it. Let's see if I can do this. I need to back up and be really clear. I actually have an old injury there. Did you have whiplash at some point in time? Fell, hit your head? It doesn't feel like a car accident.
Oh, okay. I was riding my bike, but I actually hit my butt. Sorry.
<didn't Yeah>. Kind of jarred the whole thing from the bottom all the way up to the neck.
Yeah. Right. I think that's possible, yeah.
Yeah. So what I do is when I go in, and I'll give you the specifics, so if you want to work with someone, I'm looking at cervical vertebrae 5 and 6 in particular. And I have what looks like an old injury in that area where I actually feel like I've got a little bit of bone on bone. I don't find a spur, a bone spur, but it just feels like that disc in between somehow got damaged, and it's basically kind of flattened to the point where I do have a little bone on bone. And when you get it, I can find it in specific positions, it feels like to me. When you sit or you lie down in specific positions, then I find the muscles in that part of the spine trying to protect it. Now I start getting shoulder discomfort, and I get both sides of the shoulders trying to figure out what needs to happen. But when I go in and I actually look at you anatomically, I don't find that extra rib. So it feels to me what you're dealing with some of the symptomology, is more muscular skeletal than it is from a thoracic outlet syndrome.
Okay.
In this particular process of what I'm looking at, let me go in, because it moves. It's very interesting, doesn't it? It feels like one... You know, one time I can have it on the left side, the other side on the right side. Is that accurate? In the tightening in the necks?
I have constant pain on my left neck, and it's actually if I start counting all my symptoms, my entire left side has some issues.
Yeah. And when I go in and I look at, you know, this kind of injury, this compression that occurred, and that's probably a better word. It flattened, but that's the compression part of it, is that what it's doing is it's tied to the brachial plexus. But the reason I don't really see it as thoracic outlet syndrome is when I go up to that top rib, I'm not finding that little tiny, sometimes it's called the nipple rib, that basically is there. So that lets me know that it most likely has to do with the brachial plexus. It has to do with the muscle skeletal dynamics. And what it's doing is it's actually compressing the nerves that are the peripheral nerves that basically leave the spine there. And what it's doing is it's impacting the left side, as you said. But I kept finding that the right side was also impacted because it's trying to take care of, it's trying to right what's going on. It's trying to pull you back into some kind of balance, and that's what it feels like. But what occurs is with the compression that I have, the nerves, the peripheral nerves in the shoulders, the arms, the diaphragm itself, then it's kind of what I see is the messages are building up before. Unlike thoracic outlet syndrome where I'll see a hole, I actually see kind of like a little split where the messages don't get clearly down into the lower part of the body, and that's why I think I'm picking up some of the animation. I can pick it up in the spleen. I can pick it up in the left hip, in the glute muscle, in the lumbar part of the spine. I can run it all the way down to your left big toe. So having said all that, sweetie, who do you work with? Are you working with anybody on this?
I have several people. I have a chiropractor who's very good. I have a craniosacral therapist who I've worked with in the past. Years ago, I had acupuncture.
Good.
I've had someone who gives me flower essences. You know,
good.
I use essential oil. It's
good.
I'm everywhere I can be.
Okay. Right now, the things that feel like they would be of the most value is chiropractic and acupuncture. The others are really good. You can do that, but the chiropractic and the acupuncture. And the acupuncture is the chi. The chiropractor is more of the muscular skeletal part of it, and that feels very, very helpful for you.
So is there a is there some energetic model?
Yes. Thank you for asking that, sweetie. So all of the things that you're dealing with is now first chakra. It's around survival. It's around belonging. See, when I touched it, it shut off my mouth. It shut off my voice, which is a vibrational thing. So look at the first chakra, read about it, look at survival. What are you afraid of? Paying bills, doing things, how's it going to work? And then what you want to do is open up that left big toe, open up the seventh chakra at the top of your crown. See the energy coming through the crown of the head, flowing seamlessly, smoothly through the body itself, breaking at the pelvic area, and then going down the left toe, and then visualize that left big toe like this big straw that's just got energy flowing through it like crazy. But where it's getting hung up is in the first chakra, sweetie.
Okay.
All right. Well, you know, I hate to cut you off, but I've got to go. So what are some of the things with thoracic outlet syndrome? Physical therapy, chiropractic, deep tissue massage, Rolfing, acupuncture, muscle strengthening exercise, heat treatments such as ultrasound, all of these things are going to be something that you can work with, and sometimes even they resort to surgery. Thank you so much. It's been a fun topic. Thank you again, my listener in Denver, Colorado. You have a wonderful, wonderful week, and I will see you next week on the radio. Light and love to all of you.
You've been listening to the Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.